This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1205. Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got sunshine returning to the area and the temperatures climbing again. It's 83 degrees. We expect a high temperature of 91. The five-day forecast is coming up.
Let's see what's happening on Wall Street as we go live to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Jim and Chris, we have the NASDAQ and S&P pushing even above their highest ever closes from last night, so we may have some fresh records today. The Dow is up 26 points, NASDAQ gaining 8 to 8,026, and the S&P up 1. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is lower, but just by a fraction. This 40-year-old consumer confidence index hasn't been this strong in 18 years. The Conference Board found consumers expecting pay gains and better business conditions in the coming months, and also more pleased about today's economic conditions. Higher mortgage rates have fewer people buying than in previous months, and home prices are starting to reflect that. The S&P CoreLogic Home Price Index found little change in prices across the U.S. in June. They were up just 0.1% from a month earlier. That was the smallest move in 2 years. In the Chicago area, home price gains also cooled. They rose 0.8%. Back to you, Jim and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we will be discussing the markets and the economy. Later, a shoe warehouse and its blowout earnings.
And we'll take a look at Thanksgiving travel. And no, it might seem early, but this is actually the best time for you to book that Thanksgiving travel, and we'll tell you why. It's all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Because money matters, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's been nearly 10 years since the largest bankruptcy in U.S. financial history. We'll discuss if lessons were learned from the Lehman Brothers collapse in our next segment. But right now, trade talk with Canada heats up following word of an agreement with Mexico. And we're joined by Carl Tannenbaum, the chief economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. So, Carl, what should we take from talk that apparently there is an agreement with Mexico, and now Canada is rushing in its trade minister to try to deal with the aftermath of that?
Jim, there's good news and bad news in the developments of the last few days. First, many of us have been concerned that the administration was spending a lot more time provoking our trading partners instead of negotiating with them. I've been encouraged over the last couple of weeks that while they didn't succeed, we're at least having some conversations with China. And certainly the achievement of a result with Mexico on a tentative agreement shows that we can eventually go behind closed doors and work out the details of meaningful change in the trade arena. The challenge, though, is that we do have a continent-wide agreement in NAFTA, which requires the participation of all three parties. And the successful negotiation with one actually may make it more difficult to reach an agreement with Canada. Certainly the administration, I think, wanted to put some pressure on the Canadians, but in the end, it may have angered them and may make a resolution a little bit more difficult to achieve.
And Carl, the reverse of that, if then the White House reaches agreements with Canada, does that then put more pressure on Mexico, perhaps, for more concessions?
Well, Jim, I think you've hit on a telling point, which is that if you have a tripartite agreement with three countries, you really should be negotiating all three of you together. Bilateral discussions ultimately will have to be reconciled and could take just a little bit more time. I would also note for our listeners that the White House does not have unilateral authority to just decide that NAFTA is done. That would take an act of Congress, and there would be a six-month waiting period before that could be achieved. So while there have been some innuendo about that, I just wanted to set that record straight.
Carl, what is the importance of a three-party agreement? Why do we need this? What if we don't get it?
Great question. Because we're so close together, goods and services can be moved fairly easily. And companies operating in North America, Chris, have developed supply chains where portions of their final output are generated in all three countries. So if you don't want to break those supply chains, which generally work well and bring consumers low prices, you do have to make sure that the networks that have been created since NAFTA was enacted some almost 25 years ago, that those aren't disrupted as part of these new negotiations.
Let's take a look at the economy in the Chicago area right now and in the U.S. at large. What are you feeling about the economy?
I would tell you, Chris, that when I talk to our clients, there's certainly a lot of concern about the trade arena and a variety of other global issues. But the economy here right now is doing very, very well. We just had one of the strongest quarters of a very long expansion. And thanks to tax reform, at least for another little while, we'll be doing well. And obviously, as you've highlighted all morning, the markets continue to do very well. There are risks on the horizon, but I also mentioned that, you know, we've had risks that have faced us many times since the financial crisis, and we've shown a lot of resilience, and there's no guarantee that we can't show that resilience again. So as long as we can manage the challenges that come our way, there's no reason this expansion can't live to a record length.
Carl, we're going to look back at Lehman Brothers in our next segment, but just any lessons you think we should take from what happened 10 years ago?
Oh, God, so many. And having been at the Fed during that fateful period, it was just an astonishing sequence of events. Hopefully, just to give you one, Jim, now we understand the workings of the financial network much better, how firms are linked to one another, how products work, and certainly the surveillance that's being done by the Fed and other central banks around the world has reacted to that network and hopefully will detect problems earlier than they did in 2008.
Nice to talk with you, Carl. Thanks for joining us today. Carl Tannenbaum, Chief Economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Coming up, a look at the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers one decade later.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, next month will mark the 10th anniversary of the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, the largest in American history. Let's talk about the collapse and what can be gained from a look back. We welcome Mark Hulbert, investment columnist at the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Mark, we spoke with you on this program quite a few times during that emergency. What have we learned in 10 years?
Well, a cynic might wonder if we haven't learned enough, but I think it's forever thus that when the market's been going up for as long as it has, we start focusing more people often use the term greed versus fear. So we're much more focused on greed these days than fear. As you know, when we spoke 10 years ago at the occasion of that time, people were scared to death. And I think the whole point of looking back at an anniversary like this one, even though it's not a very happy one, is nonetheless to remind ourselves that there will be another time in our future, just like in the past, when we will be as scared as we are now excited about the upside potential of the stock market. And we should take that into account so that we're not surprised by these events, which inevitably occur.
Is this a good time to stop and take a look at the portfolio? And, also 10 years of a raging a market, what does that mean?
Well, I definitely think now is a good time to have that, engage in some honest self-reflection. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, I would have stayed invested back there 10 years ago in the face of the Dow Jones dropping by 25% in 1 month, which is what it did in reaction to the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy. But go back and look and see actually what you did. It's easy in retrospect to say that you would, and it's much harder in the moment, in that fear that just gripping you to actually act that way. And so there's no shame in saying that you don't have what it takes to actually sit through something like that. But if there is any shame, it's lying to yourself and saying you do when in fact you don't. So if indeed you are more exposed to the stock market today than you would be able to maintain in the face of a scary event like another Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, then start reducing your equity exposure now. Because as you said, the stock market has been in a very raging bull market for so long, we are at much higher prices that we can use to reduce our equity positions than would prevail after such an event.
Mark, wasn't the Lehman Brothers situation also a lesson in the fact that while it really looked dark when that happened, investing is a long-term art form, and you've really got to look at the long term and if you had stuck around, you'd be doing pretty well as of 10 years on, if you had kept
Absolutely.
Things.
The problem is, I mean, you're absolutely right. The problem is that that most investors simply don't have that long enough focus and long enough perspective, and so they don't stick around. So if you were to try to tell a story, sort of like a Aesop's fable about bear markets, the purpose of a bear market is to scare people out of the market and have some of the stronger holders, stronger owners of stock on Wall Street pick up stock at very low prices. And that's what happens. If indeed we have the courage to hold on for the long term, then probably things are going to turn out okay. Not guaranteed, but probably. The other thing to say, however, is that many of us don't have that long of a period of time. If you're approaching retirement right now, another bear market like we saw in 2007, 8, and 9 would be devastating because we don't have as many years to recover because we're starting to convert already some of our stock holdings into bond holdings and other things. And so it may be, A, because of a lack of courage or because of how close we are to retirement, we may need to pay attention even if we otherwise believe that we can hold on for the long term.
I suspect that we'll be talking with you a lot in the latter part of this year. Thank you so much. Mark Hulbert, investment columnist, Wall Street Journal, Barron's, MarketWatch.com in Washington. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, time to start planning for Thanksgiving trips.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get a live look at the market, sponsored by Kaler Luggage at Bloomberg, Elisa Peretti.
Jim, the gains are slight but enough to push the NASDAQ and S&P to new records if they hold. For the next 3.5 hours, the Dow up 32 points or 0.1% to 26,082. NASDAQ gaining 13 points up to 8,031. S&P higher by 1 point to 2898. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is fractionally lower. We've got crude oil futures sliding about 0.7% to $68.38 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We are lower across the board in corn and beans. New lows in the beans today. We hit 38.5 yesterday. We hit 36 today. The Novembers are at 836 3/4, down 11.5. December corn down 2.5, 359, a penny off its low. And wheat today up 1 3/4, 501. Corn and beans lower on bigger crops right ahead at harvest. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Welcome back to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Gutis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks heading higher. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Shares of DSW and Tiffany soar while Best Buy takes a hit. We'll take a dive into the retail sector.
In Travel Tuesday, with Labor Day nearly here, the time is now to plan for Thanksgiving and holiday trips.
Search crews scour Lake Michigan near Lake Forest looking for a kayaker who capsized in rough waters last night.
Negotiators from the United States and Canada look to find common ground on trade following word of an agreement between the U.S. and Mexico.
Markets are mixed right now. The Dow Industrials up 20. The NASDAQ up by 5 and the S&P 500 down by 1.
We're going to have a hot and humid afternoon. It'll be breezy, too, with a high of 91. Storms coming in tonight as we head down to a low of 70. Right now it's 83 in Chicago. WBBM News Time, 12:31.
Well, the stock market is kind of taking a break, slowing down a little bit right now. The markets have been on the rise this morning. We're joined by Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. What are the forces that are affecting the markets right now, Matt?
Well, hi, Chris. Thanks. I don't think a lot of people would have imagined 2 months ago that we would have reached new highs. You know, with that, at that point 2 months ago, the Dow was down about a couple percent, and it's now since rallied 7% seemingly out of nowhere. And the real story is that interest rates have cooled down. Investors have become more comfortable with the measured pace of tightening by the new Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell. And consumer confidence, there was a number today that it reached a record not seen since 2000, and it's been reflected in the earnings of individual companies. 2 weeks ago, we had that tremendous move in Walmart, up 10%, reflecting just strong organic consumer spending, and that's been seconded by the CEOs of all the other big retailers, such as Target. So all that is becoming sort of a perfect storm for gains, even though sentiment had been so negative.
We're talking with our guests this week about the events 10 years ago when the market crashed. What lessons did we learn there?
Well, actually, one of the things I've been communicating to my investors was that the financial crisis 10 years ago permanently changed investor behavior, just like the crash of 1987 did. And that's a permanent shift. And where it's really showing up, and that this is something that's not been communicated to a lot of people, is in long-term interest rates. People thinking that, you know, the 30-year Treasury should be much higher than 3%. It's just not. Long-term interest rates are very steady. And that's because investors, in my belief, have permanently repriced risk, especially with respect to interest rates, far into the future, always expecting kind of some shoe to drop and there to be a slowdown. Well, over the next decade, there will, of course, be a slowdown in the economy, but investors seem to price that in now. But that subdued and reduced long-term interest rate picture is what really long-term is supporting this tremendous record-breaking bull market.
Matt, are we able to look at the market in a way that, okay, here are some sectors where there's really solid foundations, and there are other sectors that maybe are more like a rubber band that could snap back at any point? Do you see anything on either of those fronts that particularly stand out?
Well, I do. I mean, you know, we've seen some tremendous pops. I mean, look at the cannabis sector. Some of the major cannabis stocks, Canopy Growth, Tilray, Canopy had a huge investment by Constellation Brands. Corona beer and liquor, rumors of an investment in Tilray. Those stocks are down today. Those have been up about 100%. But other sectors look more attractive, especially the retail. One stock we've been buying is the owner of Circle K gas and convenience stores. It has 15,000 gas stations. One of the largest and strongest retail margins in the retail industry is when you go buy your candy bars or slushies at the gas station and buy your gas. For us, that's 15 PE, broad-based economic theme that can help drive gains, kind of a stock that's been overlooked. So there's lots of places to invest. Right now, for me, it's the big blue chips that have kind of been overlooked.
What do you think about the retail sector, you know, with DSW doing so well, Best Buy coming in with good earnings numbers, but its forecast causes it problems? What are you seeing in terms of these different trends in the retail sector?
Well, that's been the biggest surprise, Jim, is that 2 months ago, everyone thought Amazon was the juggernaut that was just destroying everything. And all of a sudden, the sentiment was wrong. And the real results on the ground are that people do have to go to the brick and mortar stores that at least have made the shift and have been successful. You know, Tiffany doing well. That's an enduring brand. I talked about the gas and convenience stores. People need to stop off and do those things. You can't get that delivered by Amazon. So one of the sectors that has a lot of strength right now is the retail, as you say.
Got any sleepers out there? Anything that maybe isn't obvious but might be something to take a look at in terms of adding to your portfolio?
Well, sure. One of the sectors that had done so well over the past 5 years was biotechnology. Your Amgens, your Biogens, your Celgenes, the large cap biotechnology companies, they all have big blockbuster drugs that produce billions of dollars of cash flow. But investors actually don't want that cash flow. They want the big dream treatment. So one stock I've been buying is Biogen, which doesn't have the stock symbol is BIIB. It's a premier large biotechnology company, but it has two compounds that are being tested for the treatment of Alzheimer's, and those are really not even priced into the stock. So as investors have discounted the value of the large biotechnology companies in this roaring market, I believe they're still attractive.
Well, thanks for all the info. Nice to talk with you again, Matt. Matt Shapiro is president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. And up next, Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. If you are planning a Thanksgiving trip, you need to get going now.
cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. Another summer has flown by and fall is rapidly approaching. Let's get the jump on Thanksgiving travel with Ken Goldstein, president of KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Ken. So we're talking about an event months from now, Thanksgiving. When do you start planning your trip and get those tickets?
Actually, first off, thanks for having me on. And more importantly, Chris and Jim, I think you need to start thinking about Thanksgiving travel if you want the flexibility and the better airfare. Start thinking about it now. The reason for that is because between now and maybe a couple of weeks, the airfares are going to start to go up $1.50 a day. In October, it could be as high as $2.50 a day, and after that, maybe $5 a day. And while that may not seem much, it does add up. So you got to start thinking about the days now, particularly if you want certain dates, you want to make sure that you get your entire family on and whatever. The other thing to think about, which I think people in Chicago should know, particularly in northern suburbs or the northwestern suburbs, you do have some alternatives, meaning you could start to think about going out of Milwaukee. You could start to think to go out of Rockford. And those are some of the things you want to start thinking about.
We talk about the best and worst days to fly in terms of crowds and all of that. But what about the expense? When is the best time to buy?
Well, the best time to buy, if you're forced within the time frame, is you want to get before the Tuesday of Thanksgiving. Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, the week starting of Thanksgiving, those are better. You don't want to fly on the Wednesday of Thanksgiving. Actually, if you can get it, it may not be that bad as Thanksgiving Day itself. The absolute worst day to fly is Sunday, because everyone, their mother, their uncle, everyone's going to want to fly back on that Sunday.
And then we move ahead to the holidays. When is this also a good time to start thinking about December travel, January travel? And you know, what other tips do you have?
I would start to think about these things now, Jim. And the reason being is, if you know, the old adage is better to have a plan in place, because otherwise you're going to get stuck with last minute. Costs are going to be extremely high. You're going to have to start thinking maybe I need a different destination. You don't want that. Have peace of mind. Peace of mind is start planning now.
But you talk about, you know, for instance, Rockford or Milwaukee as options here. Probably also, I would imagine, a good idea to think about alternate destinations, maybe some...
I agree. And that's why you might want to think of, you know, start thinking of, you know, go opposite. For example, everyone's going to start to want to go in Thanksgiving area, maybe starting to cool to warmer climates. Think about going north. Think about places you haven't necessarily thought of. Boston, Maine, as an example. The Seattle area. Again, you got to be imaginative, you got to put together a plan, and you got to be flexible. That's the important keys here.
All right, Ken, and we wish you happy holidays. Ken Goldstein is president of KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. And join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, a look at winners and losers in retail.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
DSW, Best Buy, Tiffany, three retailers out with very different earnings reports today and very different outcomes. And let's check the results with Jan Rogers Niffen, the CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. So, Jan, let's talk about it. You've got three very distinct results today, starting with DSW. Apparently, people are still going to the shoe store.
Well, people are going and buying shoes and accessories at levels we haven't seen in quite a while. And I think that's just reflective of the fact that the consumer has a lot more money to spend. If you believe the Fed's estimates on what's going on with the consumer, they'll tell you that 3.3% growth in earnings, 2.2% growth in hours, 5.5% growth in the ability of the consumer to spend. If you're looking at things like that, you expect to see some pretty strong numbers. So we certainly saw that out of people like Target and Walmart. But we've also discovered that the consumer really wants to own handbags and shoes. We've seen good numbers out of Michael Kors, out of Coach, that whole side of the business. So I'm not at all surprised that DSW was strong.
As a matter of fact, had they not been strong, I think we'd have all been disappointed, because we know that's where the consumer's going. We know the consumer's got money, and we know the consumer's spending it. So if you're not doing, if you're doing something wrong, you can still get hurt. But if you're doing anything right, you're going to see your numbers improving.
So you, in a way, you get a sense of the economy by seeing the results of these retail sales. Tiffany did pretty well, too.
Well, Tiffany did do well, and we know the upper-end consumer who got a big cut on the tax law that we just saw and who also has done very well on assets is back in the market. And we also know that the foreign tourist, which has been missing in action from the point of view of business or consumer spending in the U.S., is back. And so when that sort of thing happens, Tiffany should be one of the beneficiaries. Now, you also have to say that Reid Krakoff did a good thing when he came in and he did his big blue paint the whole city Tiffany blue campaign, and he brought out his novelty things like the gold paper cup and things like that that really caught the imagination of the consumer and of the press. And so we saw a big surge in their business because of that kind of stuff. But they are benefiting from just the fact that that consumer is really, really healthy.
Speaking of another blue, Best Buy, what's going on there?
Well, you know, Best Buy is last man standing in the space. So whatever goes on with Best Buy, I'm a fan all the time of Best Buy, because nobody else is doing in brick and mortar electronics. It's really Best Buy and Amazon in the electronics space. They've learned to live in that space. They've made a lot of things happen right. They've right-sized the store. They've brought in all sorts of departments inside the store to fill up the excess space that's created by selling online. So all in all, I think Best Buy is a long-term winner, because there's just nobody else to play in the electronic space but them and online only.
Jan Rogers Niffen, the CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York, thanks as always for your perspective. If you missed any part of today's WBBM Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com. and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, as we reach the end of today's Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. Let's take a look now at the markets with Alisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is up 39 points right now, or more than a tenth of a percent, to 26,088. NASDAQ gaining 14, so it's at 8,032. S&P adding 2. We might have some new records for the NASDAQ and the S&P. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by a fraction. More of us intend to go car shopping or to buy other big expensive items in the coming months. That's according to the latest Consumer Confidence Index from the Conference Board. Overall, confidence is at the highest level in 18 years. And Sears enjoys working with Amazon. The long-suffering department store chain is expanding its partnership with Amazon, in which people buy tires on the e-commerce site, have them shipped to a nearby Sears Auto Center, and get them installed there. A Sears automotive exec says the test was a big success, and now they're rolling out the service across the country. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Alisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.